Hallelujah. That was great, choir. You know, putting that much effort and all your heart into it the way you sang tonight, I think that glorifies God. I know the words did, but your effort and the way you sang tonight, He is worthy to be praised. Great is the Lord and greatly to... Could we just praise Him? Come on, let's just praise Him. He's excellent. He's incredible. He's awesome. He's mighty God, everlasting God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Lord, we praise You. Lord, we honor You. Hallelujah. Oh, bless Your name. Bless Your name, Lord. Bless Your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? A very familiar passage. I'm going to take a completely different tack than I've ever taken from this scripture, and just to share a thought, and I'll explain as I begin about this thought. I've been reading verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Have you ever had your situation grow worse even as you were praying for things to get better? When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. I wonder how many folks throughout the centuries have been encouraged by this lady's example. Let me just see your hand. Has anybody in the building ever been encouraged by this lady's persistence and example? Look at that. Look at that. Someone help me. What verse was I on? 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? We're going to leave the story because this is two stories happening at the same time. We're going to go to the other story in verse 38. And Jesus cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And He said, she's not dead, she's asleep. And they, in verse 40, laughed Him to scorn. But when He had put them all out, He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with Him, and entered into where the damsel was lying. And He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Remember, she's dead. Arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. No kidding. Wow. I want to preach tonight on between two needs. Between two needs. Let's pray together. Would you pray with me and for me tonight? Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank You, Jesus, that this really happened. That lady touched You and was healed, and You touched that damsel, that girl, and raised her from the dead. But thank You, Jesus, that we can yet reach out and touch You tonight, and You will touch us with Your divine hand. Lord, I thank You for what You can do even before this service is over. In the name of Jesus, I pray for the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. We may always be eager to tell our own dreams, but have you ever noticed that other people's dreams bore you stiff? Have you ever noticed that? But if you will bear with me for a moment, I want to tell you of a dream I had this week, because this is where this message came from. I had trouble sleeping, and I ended up in the living room in my lazy boy, and I'd fallen asleep for a period of time. And when I fell asleep, I don't know how I got there, but I was in a large auditorium filled with college students. And it was my lot to speak to them. And these were supposed to be Christian college students in a Christian college. And I began to try to speak to them about the Lord. And as I was speaking, I noticed it meant nothing to them. In fact, I looked around and I saw some of the young people laughing as I spoke and kind of making fun and sneering, you know, with that intellectual snubbery, you know, we know more than you and all that. And so I paused and I put aside what I'd been speaking and I said, could I just briefly talk to you? And I said, now what I'm going to talk to you about, you probably don't even know anything about. But I want to talk to you about revival. I want to talk to you about God moving among you. And since you probably have never experienced it and you don't know what revival is, let me just tell you, as I spoke to him, let me tell you what revival is. I said, revival is when God shows up. Revival is when God shows up. And I remember the burden I had in my heart as I kept saying that to that group of young people. Revival is when God shows up. I woke up, and like that, I saw Jesus on this road. I saw Jesus with a woman that was hemorrhaging blood on this side of him, behind him, and a dying girl in front of him. And I heard in my heart, just like that, Jesus stood on that road that day between two needs. The lady who was bleeding to death and that little girl who was dying in that bed. He stood on the road between two needs. But by the time the day was over, both of those needs were met. And from that little girl's home perspective, God showed up. I want you to know we have needs. You may have needs. But I want to tell you something. He's the God who shows up right where the needs are at. And so I just want to briefly share that with you tonight. Between two needs, Jesus had been asked by Jairus, that ruler, to come to his house to heal his little daughter because she was at the point of death. As Jesus went down that road, this lady was stooped and weakened with this disease, and she came out of her home to pursue Christ as he was passing down the road. Jesus was there, and that's the first thing I want to really emphasize tonight. Jesus was there historically, geologically, if you please. He was there on a road between two needs. I want you to think about that. What that means is Jesus had already passed that lady's house. Think about that. If she came from behind as he walked down that road, he had already passed the lady's house, and he was not yet come to the dying daughter's house. He was between two needs. For one, that lady, God had already showed up, but for the dying daughter and her family, God had yet to show up. But the point is, Jesus had positioned himself in a place where that lady could come from behind and touch the hem of his garment. He had positioned himself in a place where that mom could look out the window and search and look for Jesus to arrive. For Jesus had come. I want you to know Jesus has always done that. On this occasion, he came all the way from heaven to planet Earth. And if you read the context, he got in a boat and he crossed the lake and came to this shore and walked down that road past that lady's house on the way to that girl's house. Why? Because he positioned himself in a place that if people desired help, if people wanted help, if folks recognized their need, he would be right there in a position to meet those needs. I want you to know he's never changed. His presence was here this morning. He's been involved in the singing, in the comments tonight. Even if you've got a need, I want you to know something. Jesus has positioned himself so that if you desire help, He's here to be touched and to touch. He was there between two needs. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's positioned himself that way? Oh, he hanged between earth and heaven to be in a position to forgive our sins. He's at the right hand of the Father to be in a position to intercede for our need. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he is amongst us, positioned to meet our need. He was there for the lady to reach after him. He was where the girls and her family could wait for him to come. Amen. And so I want you to see this tonight. Where Jesus is, he is in a place where you can either reach out to him, or he is in a place for you to wait for him to come. Amen. I said he's in a place where we could reach out to him, or we can wait for him to come. For the lady, he was in front of her to reach out to. Amen. For the dying daughter and her family, he was yet to come. But in either situation, they could have a faith that he was there between the needs. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Jesus was between two needs. And then I want you to notice, there on that road, Jesus was between two generations. Between two generations. We're given the details that this lady had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. I won't go into that, but if you read that context seriously and intently and think about it, every indication from this lady's sickness was that she was a lady of middle age or approaching middle age. She wasn't an older lady. She wasn't a younger lady. She was a lady approaching middle age. I mean, for 12 years, she had sought for help. Amen. And so on this side of Jesus, you have one generation. A generation of one old enough to be the mother of the next need down the road. Even you have this generation on the other side of Jesus, the other need. You have a young daughter, 12 years old. Not only did Jesus stand on that road between needs, he stood between generations. Hallelujah. There was an older generation. Even she was reaching for what she had seen past. I said she reach for what she saw pass. Amen. That young girl at first, I don't know how quickly her condition deteriorated, but being 12 years old, if she was still conscious, she was old enough to have heard that her mother sent dad Jairus for that healer called Jesus. And she, as she lay there dying with the fever, amen, she was old enough to say, "Mom, has he come yet? Mom, look out the window. Tell me, do you see that holy man coming down the road? Do you see where Jesus was?" Even the older generation had seen him pass, and the younger generation had yet to see him come. Hallelujah. I want you to know, an older generation, you've seen him pass. You've seen what he can do. You've experienced him, but you can still reach out to him. Hallelujah. You can still have a renewed experience. You may be of a younger generation. You've not yet experienced. You've not yet seen. You've only heard about. Could I tell you, if your heart is set on God, if you're hungry spiritual, you have every reason in the world by faith to start looking down the road of your life, expecting the Master to come into your life, your situation, your need. He stood between the two generations, and before the day's over with, he had met the needs of both generations. Oh, can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. You hear in the church older folks of an older generation say, "Well, I've seen God do this, and I've seen God do that, and I was in a revival when this happened, and I was in a revival when 15 got saved, and I saw this one." Yeah, the older folks have seen him pass, but there's a generation that has not yet seen. But I believe many of them, they got a hunger in their heart. They say, "I haven't seen him, but I'd like to see him." And they've opened up the window of their heart, and they're looking towards heaven. They're looking towards the things of God. They're looking into the Word and say, "I'd like to see him." That's where Jesus stood that day. Amen. The fact of the matter is, older generation, younger generation, both needed help. If that older generation, that lady, didn't get help, there was no earthly help.
Amen. She had to have heavenly help. Amen. Here's a younger generation. Amen. The doctors had tried with her too, I'm sure. But there was no earthly help for the younger generation. Amen. She had to have divine help. She had to have God help. Could I tell you, we're there today. Amen. It really doesn't matter. You know, sometimes we make these great divides, an older generation or a younger generation. But when it's all said and done, the older generation has needs that there's no help on the horizontal plane of earth to help them. And the young people have needs that there's no earthly help. Amen. We both generations, we have needs that only Jesus can help us. Only the eternal one. Only God can help us with. Hallelujah. So they both had their needs. There's a second thing. And I don't know again how long that young girl had consciousness or could express. But I'm sure if she was sick, she wanted to be over that sickness. They both had their needs. But the second ingredient is they both wanted help. Amen. That lady was in such a weakened state. If she didn't want help, she would have stayed right there in her bed, right there in her house. I know she wanted help because in a weakened state, she made her way out at the door of her house and down the street in pursuit of Jesus and pressed her way through that thronging crowd around him. She wanted help. I know that girl wanted help. That girl's family wanted help. They took the trouble for Dad himself, an important man, to go after Jesus to bring him to his house. I'm telling you, both generations have a need, but both generations can desire help from the Lord. Hallelujah. Both reached out to him. Both their needs were. You say, what are you trying to preach, Pastor? I'm preaching Jesus is not partial to any particular generation. Oh, hallelujah. Upon you I'll pour out my spirit. But your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy. He's not particular to any or partial to any particular generation. Oh, but he wants to move on the behalf of both. You know, sometimes you begin to think that God has been partial to an older generation. I love the stories. I don't want them to ever stop. But you can get a good testimony service going, and older folks can stand up and say, I remember when, and talk about some powerful moves of God. And if you're a young person sitting over here, you can say, well, you know, God was kind of partial. Look how he moved for them. I've never seen that. That's never happened here at Union Road. Since I could remember, God's just partial to older folks. I'd like to believe that. But you know, it works the other way. Here's an old man like Steve Hoffman sitting over here. And the youth just got back from youth camp. And Brother Brian has them testify. And they're up there so excited they can't hardly stand it. Talking about how folks got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit. They got saved. They're so excited, full of zeal. Brother Steve from this older generation, he's sitting there thinking, God's kind of partial to young people. Every summer, he sends revival to them. Every summer, he meets them at youth camp. I'm here to preach. He was between two generations. He was partial to neither one. Aren't you glad we serve a God like that? I said, aren't you glad we serve a God like that? Hallelujah. Amen. To the elder, they can sing, look what the Lord has done. Amen. Oh, they can sing that. But the young people can stand and declare, he has said, the promise is unto your children. And I'm one of the children, so the promise is unto us. We can have the same move of God. Amen. That lady watched an opportunity pass. That young girl, that opportunity was yet to come. Oh, hallelujah. But he spanned the generation gap. That's why he stood on that road between the two generations. In one trip, he met the needs of both generations. Hallelujah. Have you seen it happen? One service, one moving of the Holy Spirit, one preached sermon, and God met the needs from the children to the teenager to the middle age to the older in one service. How many believes we have a God God like that. Glory to God. I like things to be age-related, and I like it when we target specific targets. But I'm telling you this thing about the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's nothing. He's ageless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He speaks the language of all of us. Why? Because in the end, whether young or old, it's a human heart that has a need. It's a human mind. And thank God he knows how to talk and to meet our need. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. I've seen it. I was trying to think back, and it's getting long ways to think now about when I used to evangelize, and thinking of some of the occasions. I can remember great revival that broke out one summer between years of the Bible school, working and preaching in a particular area. But I can remember on one end of the altar, a young boy getting saved, and on the other end, an older gentleman getting saved at the same altar. And I kind of feel like Jesus right between the two. I remember another occasion, a young girl down on this side of the altar getting filled with the Holy Spirit. I still remember this lady was up in her 80s, never had had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She was knelt down right here, and pretty soon she had her hands in the air speaking in a heavenly language. Young girl, older lady, and Jesus was between the generations. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Hallelujah. I love our young people. Amen. So many places we've taken them out of the main service, put them in the back of the gymnasium, showed them a movie. Amen. Giving them some cookies. I'm telling you what, I don't really think young people want that. All that stuff's out there. I think young people desire a moving of God's Spirit as much as anyone else. I've got great news. He's the one that spans the generation gap. Glory to God. He stood between the generations. That lady had been sick 12 years. That little girl was 12 years old. You realize that lady came down with that ailment. Amen. The same day or the same time period that that little girl was born. 12 years. He spanned the generation. Amen. Where are you at in relationship to Jesus? Amen. Here's this lady. She had to go after him. Here's this girl and her family. They had to have the faith to wait till he came to them. Where are you at tonight? I want you to think about that. Where are you at? Amen. Do you need to pursue what you know you can have? Or do you by faith need to wait until it comes to you? Amen. Others that were there who never went after Jesus. Don't tell me that lady was the only sick one in the crowd. Don't tell me she was the only sick one in the village. Amen. But she was the one that went after him. I want to be amongst those that go after him. Amen. Don't tell me on the other end there weren't other people in that little girl's village that weren't sick or have children. Oh, but there was one family that was looking out the window, had the door wide open, who sent for Jesus. I want to be one of those that's waiting until the next move of God comes. How many believes that he still shows up? Glory to God. I said he still shows up. I know things got worse. I know that little girl died, but I'm telling you, as long as Jesus is in the equation, it's never too late. It's never past hope. Amen. I'm not going to tell this story tonight, but I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if it was mom, I don't know if it was grandma or aunt. They had looked down that road many of times, and it was nothing but an empty road. Or if their hopes got built, it wasn't Jesus, it was somebody else. But there came one time when they looked down the road, here comes dad, and he's got that healer with him. He's got that prophet with him. Oh, hallelujah. And here comes Jesus. I'll tell you one thing. When Jesus stepped over the threshold of that house, healing stepped over the threshold into that house. Things had been hopeless. But when Jesus crossed through the doorway, hope entered that house. Glory to God. How many knows it makes a difference when Jesus comes? If you feel your chance has already passed, go after him anyway. If you feel like you'll never see happen what you need to happen, keep waiting on him anyway. Last of all, Jesus was between two miracles. You see, from our perspective, Jesus was between two needs. From Jesus' perspective, he was between two miracles. And before the day was over, one miracle on either end was met. To this lady, her miracle was passing by, passing away. She went after. On the other end, the miracle was yet to come. But Jesus fully intended and was fully capable of meeting both needs. Amen. Do you feel like opportunities have passed? Seek him. Do you feel like opportunities will never come? Seek him. Believe in him. Reach out to him. Amen. You may wonder, and I seriously do too, how that all came out of that dream, but it did in a moment. I was saying, revival's when God shows up. Some would say he's already shown up, like the lady. It's all over with. No, sir. If you feel like he's already shown up, it's over with, go after him. Others on the other end are saying he'll never show up. That's not true. He's promised that in the last days he'd pour out his spirit. If you would believe him, he would show up. We see it as two impossible situations. Jesus sees it as two opportunities to work in our lives. Amen. I want to ask you something. From the position of the lady, does it seem like God is disappearing from your life? Does it seem like God is disappearing from your interest? Is Jesus disappearing from your heart's desire? From that lady's perspective, I want to tell you, let God touch your heart again and say, it may seem like he's disappearing, but I'm going to reach after. I'm going to pursue. I'm going to lay hold. Maybe you're in a position you feel like Jesus simply isn't going to bother to ever show up in your need. Don't quit looking. Don't quit believing. Don't quit seeking. Because in this occasion, he seemed to be disappearing, but there came a moment when she touched the hem of his garment that he stood still and turned around and said, "Who touched me?" At that point, that servant said, "Jesus took too long." And he said to Jairus, he had come from the little girl's house, he said to his master Jairus, he said, "Don't trouble the master any further. No need to bring him home. It's too late for all of that." Jesus said, "Oh, what you need to is to believe. You just thought I'd never come, and the whole time I'm still on the way." Hallelujah. Do you realize that? Do you realize the times we think he's not going to show up? He's been on the way the whole time. He's been moving. He's been speaking. He's been working. Amen. Notice just some vital things about these. This lady, her need had been long term. By every indication, the little girl's situation had come about suddenly. It was recent and suddenly. And he met both needs. He can meet the long-term need. He can meet the need that has suddenly occurred. Not only that, one took hold of Jesus. The other was in such a condition. She's dead. She can't do that. And when she couldn't take hold of Jesus, Jesus took hold of her. The Bible said he took her by the hand and said, "Arise." Have you ever been there? You really would like to get a hold of Jesus. You just feel like you can't. Keep believing him. He'll take hold of you. Jesus turned back to the lady, met her need. Then he turned to the daughter. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? Would you come, music, tonight? Amen. I just want to illustrate briefly everything I've preached tonight. Amen. Amen. Dion, would you help me? Would you stand right here? Amen. I need a young lady. Who'd like to help me? Who'd like to be dead? No one wants to be dead. Anna, would you like to help me tonight? I know you're a lot older than that, but you can help us. Amen. You don't have to lie down. Just sit in this chair and close your eye. Amen. She needs a mother. Everyone's pointing at everybody. Vicky, would you mind being her mother? You were being voted for, whether you could see that or not. You look pretty alive to me. Would you go stand by? You're going to be looking down the road. This is the one time I'll play Jesus. I'm Jesus. I'm positioned on the road between two needs. I needed a lady. I don't know how I got you. Thank you. I'm always using the guys. It just struck me. Amen. Jenna, would you help me? Amen. You're going to have to. Dion would have really had to struggle. He'd had to been female and had to been old too. You just have to be old, okay? You're the lady. See, I've already passed your house. As you watch, I'm disappearing down the road. If you're going to get help, you don't have to come right now. If you're going to get help, you're going to have to pursue after me, because what you need is disappearing from your life. Did you know there's some that's right there? Oh, they used to have such an experience. But right now, Jesus is disappearing from their lives. You're going to have to come after. Just a second. Thank you. Right here, you got a desperate need. Your daughter's such shape, she can't even look and seek for Jesus herself. And your mom, you're concerned about her, that her need is your need. Amen. You could just quit, shut your door, close the window. Say, it's never going to happen. So much for this Jesus. You have one responsibility if you get help. Keep looking. Keep believing. Keep watching. Hallelujah. But look what happens as Jesus begins to move and she begins to pursue. You don't have to kneel down or anything. Just take a few steps. There came that moment. Oh, isn't he a great master? He could have walked right on, but her faith triggered the healing virtue in Jesus Christ. A crowd thronging him, people touching him by bumping into him and jostling up against him. But this is different. This is faith. This is hunger. This is reaching out to the Lord. By pursuing, there came that moment Jesus turned and met her need. And yet there's these folks saying, if they got the news, well, he just healed someone back there. They still have their need. They're not even in a position where they can do what this lady did. Have you ever been there when it seems like everybody else's needs being met but yours? But I tell you what they can do. They can keep waiting. Are you looking out the window? If they keep looking, if they keep waiting, there's going to come a day when Jesus is going to come right in the middle of their need and meet it. And by the time the day's over with, guess what? Both are rejoicing. Both generations, both villages. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be in a situation with this lady. By all indications, didn't look like she had any family there with her. This one has family. But I'm telling you, if you don't have a family support, amen, if your family doesn't live for God with you, amen, he's able to meet your need. And if you've got family support, he's able to meet your need. Aren't you glad we serve a master like that? He's between the needs tonight, between the generations. But he's between the miracles. Amen. Would you stand across the building? Thank you, young people. Appreciate it. Hallelujah. Amen. Could we praise him tonight? Let's just praise him across the building. Hallelujah. 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 I know it was just a dream. I know it was. But if you could have seen those young people's faces, and they didn't have a clue what it meant to feel God's presence and to see the scorn on their face in that dream. Listen, I know it was a dream, but you know how dreams are? They've usually got some seed that caused them. And I really believe that those young people I saw was a concern of my heart for a generation that so desperately needs God, so desperately that, you know, they and I'm not talking about our young people right here, but they scorn the things of God, the preaching. They laugh when the preacher preaches and things that are said. It makes no sense to them. Amen. But in that dream, I had such a desire for them just to see. But I not only had desire as I was preaching to them for them to see the movement of God, something began to stir my heart, even though it was a dream, that they can see it. Right here at this college that used to be Christian, that has turned secular and away from God, these young people can experience the move of God's presence. Isn't it tremendous what happens when God shows up? Hallelujah. And with that, Those who think that all those type of revivals and moves of God are past, you'd be surprised that they're not that past if you'd pursue again. Pursue again. I just want to give this altar call tonight. I'm not asking you to identify your generation. That's not what this is about. It's different. It's this. For some, you feel like your opportunities in God, you feel like your hunger for God, you feel like your experience with God is disappearing down the road. For others, you have very real needs, and it looks like God's never going to show up. God's never going to meet the need. There's never going to be intervention. Whether you think it's disappearing or whether you think in waiting, it's never going to happen. But tonight, you want a renewed faith in your heart. I will pursue if that's your need, or I will continue to wait upon the Lord until He moves. Whatever. I'd like you to begin to come to the altar and say, Lord, I'm going to put my trust in You. I'm going to believe You positioned Yourself in a place where my need commands. How many would come begin to seek the Lord? Amen. Envision yourself either as the lady or as the girl's family. Either you're reaching out for what seems to be disappointing, or you're waiting patiently, believing in faith and trust of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, let's seek Him in this altar tonight. It's early. Let's seek the Lord. Call upon Him. Pursue Him tonight. Pursue Him in the altars. Oh, would you pursue Him tonight? Would you wait on Him tonight to speak to you, to touch you? Hallelujah. Oh, you can touch Him tonight. You can touch Him tonight.